The Defense Department wants to make sure the electronic parts it buys and systems aren't tainted. They're kosher. In a new proposed rule expansion, DOD would require contractors to have a risk-based system to trace electronic parts from their original equipment manufacturers and subcontractors. The goal is to crack down on counterfeit electronic parts. Chris Myers is a partner and assistant chair of the Government Contracts Group at Dentons. He joins me now with more on that proposal. Chris, great to have you on.
Good morning.
All right, so there is a rule already in place. It's been there for a year and a half. What is the Defense Department proposing for that rule, and how would it change the game for contractors?
Well, the new rule is properly considered, I think, another step in what will be a multi-step process. The federal government became intensely interested in the counterfeiting problem around 2010 or 2011 when the Senate Armed Services Committee conducted an investigation of just how rampant is the counterfeiting problem in the federal supply chain. And unsurprisingly, what the Senate concluded at that time in a report that was published in 2012 is that it is a significant problem. In a relatively small sample size, the Armed Services Committee found 1,800 individual instances of counterfeiting involving literally millions of parts. And so what we've seen since then is Congress take action first in the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act by requiring DOD to implement a series of regulations to deal with the problem. And as you mentioned, the first rule we saw came down in May of last year, which was focused primarily at large contractors, requiring those large contractors to develop what the rule called a counterfeit parts detection and avoidance system. And we've seen contractors struggling with that rule for the last year and just precisely how to implement it. The new rule that came out last week has a slightly different focus. It's aimed not at systems, but instead aimed at sourcing supplies in the supply chain. And where do companies source their parts from? And in doing so, essentially, the government acknowledged that the risk of counterfeit is truly a function of source. Who are you buying your parts from? And that's really the aim of this new rule.
And so the department doesn't buy parts per se, but it buys finished systems from companies ranging from Cisco to Raytheon that give them boxes. And so it's the content of those boxes, right, that the department is most worried about?
Correct. And the aim of this new rule is that these new boxes need to and parts and systems acquired by the DOD need to come from what the rule calls a trusted supplier, which really falls into three different categories. One, the original manufacturer. So that in your example would be, for example, Cisco. Number two is an authorized dealer. That's a company with a contractual arrangement with the original manufacturer to sell the parts. And number three, and this is a significant expansion in this new rule, is companies can now qualify trusted suppliers through an internal vetting process where they can test using their own systems some of their suppliers and deem them to be trustworthy suppliers and go ahead and purchase parts from them, even though they may not be the original manufacturer or an authorized dealer.
So this would be for replacement parts or for, say, a subassembly that a Cisco or Raytheon might buy from a subcontractor that sends them a circuit board that would go into a larger system that the prime is manufacturing?
All of the above. It applies to individual parts, and it implies the rules apply to components, that any component that includes electronic parts. So, I mean, one of the industry reactions to this new rule, I think, is going to be that it is incredibly broad in its application. It applies to companies of all shapes and sizes, including small business set-asides, commercial item contracts. And in fact, one of the things that the Senate determined was that a large portion of counterfeit parts that are incorporated in the federal supply chain actually are the result of COTS or commercial off-the-shelf acquisitions. So they're very broad applicability.
I guess you don't have to scratch very deeply into the electronic supply chain before you hit the gray market, which is where a lot of these parts, they might be remanufactured or they might be out and out counterfeited or used and relabeled as new. That's where that all exists, what they call the gray market. And that's not that many layers into the supply chain beyond the big well-known OEMs?
Absolutely true. And in many instances, what the Senate found in its investigation was that even in some instances, very large, sophisticated companies were using parts brokers, which could be these fly-by-night operations literally opened up in someone's kitchen where they just buy a part from China and literally are selling it to a large, sophisticated company in just one subcontract tier higher. one of the primary focuses of all of these rules that DOD is implementing is to essentially to put those brokers out of business. The parts have to come again from the authorized dealers of the original manufacturers, and these type of brokers are going to have a very hard time doing business and dealing in these gray market parts you refer to.
We're speaking with Chris Myers. He's a partner at the Government Contracts Group at Dentons. And this same issue affects OEMs in the commercial marketplace. Is there a commercial model for supply chain management and parts tracking that can simply be adopted into the DOD environment?
There certainly are models, and in the commercial market has been dealing with this problem for frankly much longer than DOD has been trying to deal with. One of the primary models that the commercial industry uses is what's referred to as Aerospace Standard 5553. And in fact, a number of the comments that industry has submitted to these new DOD regulations have suggested to bring these new DOD rules and regulations more in line with what has been used in the commercial marketplace and generally found to be relatively successful. And I think that again, that's an area probably where industry will be pleased by this new rule. Is there are some specific instances where this rule is now coming more in line with some of these commercial practices.
And does this also extend beyond semiconductors, which is the usual example? But I know in the aerospace industry, they've been dealing with phony connectors for a long time, and connectors can also bring an airliner down if they're not up to standard.
Yes, again, in the definition of electronic part is an area where these rules are very broad, and it's essentially anything that conducts electricity. I mean, so it includes connectors and these types of things, anything really involved in the electronics of these DOD weapon systems.
And does that need for certification also extend to the distributors, the Arrows and the Avnets, the companies like that that distribute parts to small OEMs and to some large ones also?
Well, the circumstance they're going to find themselves in is they need to either be authorized dealers, meaning they have a contractual relationship with the original manufacturer, or they're going to be subject now to this vetting process from some of the big primes where they're going to come in and audit them and make a determination of whether or not they can be considered trusted suppliers, as that term is defined in this new rule. And that's, I made a reference earlier to this being a multi-step process. This new rule also references another coming rule, which is going to address more specifically this vetting process I referred to, whereby companies can go out and audit some of these suppliers.
But if you have that letter of supply from a manufacturer, say I'm Arrow, and I have a letter of supply from, and I'm just making this, I don't know whether this is on their line card or not, but say I have a letter of credit from Intel, does that therefore replace the need to have that vetting process and the auditability? Is it one or the other, in other words?
It is. If you're an authorized dealer and have that contractual relationship with Intel to go sell Intel parts, then you qualify as a trusted supplier. And as a prime contractor, you're then able to go ahead and purchase the parts from that supplier with that contractual relationship with a lower burden.
All right, so what do contractors have to do next now? I mean, I guess this rule is open for comment at this point.
It's open for comment, and I expect there to be a robust comment period as there was with the last time around with the rule that came out last May. Then the other thing, what comes next for most companies is to start getting their ducks in a row and try to deal with this rule. I can tell you from experience with the prior rule, it was a significant challenge that a lot of our clients faced to try to make sense of the rule and what it actually meant. Here, I think there's a little more clarity in what the rule means, but in terms of sourcing, now contractors need to go out and probably scrub their supply chains and make sure that they're dealing with primarily original manufacturers and authorized dealers. And in instances where they're maybe reliant on brokers, which certainly is common for all prime contractors, to make some assessment of whether there's an alternative source for some of those parts.
And who is the point person on the government that's going to be responsible for this? Is it the contracting officer or the contracting officer representative or who?
Primarily, probably the answer is both the COTAR or the CO. There are certain aspects of the rule which require notice to the contracting officer if, for example, a part cannot be purchased from a trusted supplier. So the contracting officer will be involved. I expect on a day-to-day basis that the COTAR will probably be more involved in some of the communications with contractors on trusted suppliers and whether these sources are appropriate.
And a final question, this rule and this new proposed rule and the one coming after that, they apply to replacement parts as well as to parts that came with the equipment in the first place?
Correct. All electronic parts.
Well, they've got a big job ahead. Chris Myers is a partner and assistant chair of the Government Contracts Group at Dentons. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.